Blog Talk Radio.
Earthing, also known as grounding, is the act of touching our body's skin directly to the earth, just like our ancestors did as they slept, sat, and walked on the ground nearly every day of their lives. This simple connection allows Earth's natural negative electrons to enter the human body, pacifying dangerous free radicals, which, if left unchecked, can cause severe damage to cells that can lead to many chronic diseases. Ground Therapy's patented process and suite of products were designed for you to experience all the benefits of grounding in your busy and modern lifestyle. And you'll experience the benefits of grounding within the safety and comfort of your home or office throughout the entire day, just as if you were touching the earth itself.
The information is provided for general informational purposes only. The contents are not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Ground Therapy Incorporated makes no representations about the efficiency, appropriateness, or suitability of any specific tests, procedures, treatments, services, opinions, healthcare providers, or other information that may be contained in or available through the information provided.
Hey, everyone. Proof here again. I want to let you know that you want to protect yourself against this upcoming food shortage that's about to happen. I know with all this COVID stuff that growing your own food is going to be extremely important right now. So I want to introduce you to my friends over at groundwithagarden.com, and you can get yourself hooked up with a vertical garden that you can grow inside or outside of your house. So if you have a back patio or you don't have room outside, you can grow in either way. And I have a bunch of stuff growing on mine. I have pictures to share. I love this thing. This is the best garden and most successful that I've ever had for gardening for my own self. So let me give you the website again, groundwithagarden.com. That's groundwithagarden.com.
Most people say they hate wearing shoes and would go barefoot if they knew they were allowed. People say it all the time on their social medias, but they are worried that someone will say something to them. So everyone wears the cheapest flip-flops with the least amount of fabric on them. Most people do not even know that it's completely 100% legal to go barefoot into a store. Most people think that driving barefoot is illegal, but it isn't. Driving barefoot actually is safer than wearing most shoes. Going outside barefoot for a walk is one of the healthiest things you could do, but most people are afraid someone will say something. Or they quote the myths and the rumors that their grandma told them years ago. The fact is, there are no laws against driving a car, going to a store, or eating in a restaurant barefoot. So don't give in to bad fashion, hurt heels, or a broken flip-flop. For more information, please check out barefootislegal.org or find us on your favorite social media.
Freaks, outsiders, weirdos, the wallflowers, oddball loser, fish out of water, speak up, talk quieter. We are different. There's no arguing. It's a fact. Patchwork of flaws, we grow and adapt. We're funky, unconventional, see life through kaleidoscope eyes. In a field full of clovers, with our four leaves, we bask in blue skies. Flaws are natural. Our imperfections, our weaknesses, our scars. There is a misfit in all of us. We just have to be brave enough to embrace who we are.
Just as ungrounded signals wreak havoc on radio communications, there's growing concern that because we are not grounded, we absorb tremendous amounts of electromagnetic radiation from our modern devices. EMF stands for electromagnetic field.
We are all immersed in electromagnetic fields, from Wi-Fi, from the wiring in our homes, and it disturbs our electrical balance. We get charged inside of our bodies. We get electrically charged. Some people have as much as 20 volts on their bodies, and that's not good for you.
The information is provided for general informational purposes only. The contents are not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Ground Therapy Incorporated makes no representations about the efficiency, appropriateness, or suitability of any specific tests, procedures, treatments, services, opinions, healthcare providers, or other information that may be contained in or available through the information provided.
Sorry, folks. We are here with Barefoot is Legal Radio. Barefoot is Legal is a a 501c3 nonprofit organization dedicated to the rights and legalities of living the barefoot lifestyle, as well as just health benefits, giving support, and providing other information and empowerment and encouragement. Most people think that barefooting is illegal, unfortunately, and it is not. There are no laws or health codes against barefooting in the United States. So if you've been interested in it or you've, you know, had your own thoughts, opinions, and curiosities on it, just try it for yourself and see how you like it, because it is a freedom that is protected. You know, there are a lot of reasons why people barefoot. These are religious reasons, spiritual reasons, cultural reasons, mental health reasons, physical health reasons.
Plus, it's just darn fun.
And that, too. There's so many reasons why people do it. So even if you don't understand something, take the time to just be past yourself before you make a judgment on something. Because we all are very different people with our own thoughts and opinions and feelings. And
well, and just like you don't want to be judged for something you may do that is not quite typical as people seem to think it is or should be, those of us who choose to live a barefoot lifestyle are tired of getting the prejudgment based on one simple thing about ourselves.
Yeah.
So, you know, patience and understanding and an open mind go a long way.
Yeah, and I know even for myself, like, it's not that, you know, really people get under my skin as much anymore. Like, a lot of the times I will just be like, I already know what I'm going to say if somebody says something to me, but it's always those days you're just like, gosh, if somebody says something,
I don't
want to have to say it. Exactly. You're like, I know I can keep my patience, but gosh, people are really testing me today, you know, and it can be hard to just even want to go to places sometimes when you're already in those irritable, or if you're neurodivergent, you're already feeling very overstimulated. I know for myself, I get extremely overstimulated going to stores, even the gas station, going out in public a lot of the times. I feel like unless you're neurodivergent, you just really can't understand. I mean, like, lights have sounds, and neurotypical people very rarely can hear those lights, unless it's like a very obviously loud light. And, you know, we're aware of all those little they're like sensory microaggressions is what they feel like after a while. It's like the lights have it against you, you know, or that certain sounds have it against you, you know. It's already hard enough to, you know, feel comfortable and feel at ease going to public. And barefooting is one of those things that helps us. It helps us with our sensory awareness or sensory alertness, and also keeps us from getting so overstimulated by shoes, which is what shoes often do for most of us. And, you know, it can already be hard enough when you have overstimulation, but then when you also have to worry about your interactions with people and how they're going to treat you and how they're going to react to you just existing, minding your own business, living your life, that can create some anxiety. And it may not be anxiety as in the sense of, oh, I'm going to, you know, curl up in a ball and cry or let people, you know, just beat the crap out of me. You know what I mean? Like, it can be just anxiety as in that irritability and that frustration. And
snapping where you don't need to snap.
And just feeling like, gosh, get out of my way. Oh, yeah. You know, just get out of my way, get out of my way. Like, really, just like, I don't even know what else to say. Like, just
mind your own
business. It's unfortunately not that hard, but a lot of people seem to act like it is.
Well, see, that goes on to where we're talking about. You say it's not that hard, but, you know, just like some people think it's not that hard to just keep your shoes on, but it really is. I mean, it might be that hard for them to mind their own thing business.
And to be honest, I can understand that, okay? You know, as somebody, you know, who is neurodivergent, I don't know, just I am very curious. I want to know anything. If I have a possible question in mind, I want to know the answer to it. You know, I can be a little nosy without even trying to be, because I'm so hyper aware of every noise, of every little thing I hear, everything I see. I see movement, I'm distracted, you know?
Smells.
Smells even. Like, there's so much. So I get it.
Yeah.
Is your knee okay?
Mm-mm. Keep going.
Okay. But, you know, I mean, I feel like a lot of neurodivergent people, we can be kind of nosy, just because, you know, we see some movement and we're distracted. We hear something, we're distracted. You know, we're very curious. But at the same time, I'd say I'm still pretty good at minding my own business. You know, just like I may look up and start looking at things and stuff because I heard a noise or I saw some movement. But if I realize, like, you know what, this is not my place, not my thing, just mind my business.
Not
and if
my
it's
circus,
something
not
worth
funky.
Actually addressing, then, yeah, I might say something. You know, if it's something that's, you know, that is something bad's happening, like, yeah, I'm going to say something, you know. But other than that, like, just I'm going to mind my own business. I don't care. You do you, boo. Like, it's unfortunately – I get it. I get being a little nosy. I think all neurodivergent people are to some degree.
I think all people are.
All people are, yeah. And obviously, I'm not saying I know everybody.
But,
you know,
you can be nosy and not be a jerk. It is possible.
And you can also be a little bit nosy and respect people's space and boundaries. You know, you may, you know, because there's sometimes where I'm a very curious person. But if you're going to tell me, like, no, I don't want to talk about this. Like, okay, got you. You know, like, it's that simple. Or if you realize that this is a stranger and you don't need to be in their business, you can take a step back. So it's like being curious and minding your own business do not have to be complete opposites of each other. You can be
They're not mutually exclusive.
Exactly. And I think it's hard because it's like, as neurodivergent people who are barefooters, sometimes too, like, you know, we can miss social cues. And obviously there are differences between social cues with autism and ADHD. And so for reference, you know, a lot of times when people with ADHD are missing social cues, it's because they're not paying attention to them. And that's not an insult, because there's a reason why they can't pay attention to them. Their brains are paying attention to everything else. How could they pay attention to that?
Social cues also don't make sense, so.
Yeah, and that I can especially say for somebody with, like, as somebody with autism, because for us, it's like,
why does
we
that
can
mean
learn that? To read social cues, and I've had a lot of instances in my life where I've had to learn to read them, or I didn't realize what was going on until way after the fact, and then now I've had to learn to, like, adjust and read those things when people who are bad people are trying to take advantage of me, unfortunately. And, you know, a lot of us with autism can be a little too empathetic to a default, or, and then also when you throw in the missing of social cues, you know, that can be a risk factor. And, but a lot of it too is they just don't make sense to us. They don't make sense. They don't make logical sense within our personal schemas and structures that we have, because a lot of these social cues are social nuances.
Mm-hmm.
They aren't natural in the sense that, you know, like, I have to eat, so, you know, whatever, like, I have to eat. Like,
this means I'm hungry, obviously, to everybody. Your stomach's grumbling, but whereas, I don't know, slight eye roll could mean, can you believe this person, or it can mean,
shut up,
right? Or it can mean, I don't want to talk to you, or it can mean all kinds of things.
Well, I think, too, because, like, a friend could be telling me a story, and I'm just like, and it could be a story where, like, with some person that was just being a piece of crap, and I could be like rolling my eyes so hard out of my skull practically, because I'm like, oh my god, like, and you know, So then if I see somebody else rolling their eyes, I might just think that they're really, they're, you know, agreeing and they're on the side of the story. But some people, that can be very different. It's like,
it can mean they're over the story. They're over the story, whereas you're like, oh, you're like the person in the story.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so there can be a lot of issues. And I think, too, like, as somebody that's overstimulated and has issues with social cues, like, that can create some of its own anxiety with going into stores and going into places, because it's like not being aware of what everybody is saying, what their intentions are. And that, you know, does overlap with barefooting, because people can say things and ask questions that I may not think anything of, because I am a curious person, you know. And when a lot of us neurodivergent people, that curiosity can make us a little bit nosy, you know, ask those kinds of questions. And it doesn't mean that we're not trying to, you know, respect, not, that doesn't mean that we're not trying to respect people or, you know, mind our business or anything like that. Like, you know, we have questions. So when other people, you know, ask questions and are curious, like, I can often think nothing of it. But then it's hard when you realize that, you know, when you have to realize that not everybody is coming to the conversation with the same level of curiosity and just wanting to understand people. Some people just want to judge or have something to talk about. Unfortunately,
yeah. Not everyone who listens to you is your friend.
Yeah. And I think that's a hard lesson, especially for neurodivergent people, to realize, because
I feel like we got sidetracked. Did we get?
I mean, maybe it could be like seen as sidetracked, but I do think it kind of overlaps with us a lot, because
my brain is tired.
No, you're good. I've had an interesting week myself. I'm surprised I'm even talking right now. but, you know, it can be hard when somebody asks questions. And, you know, a lot of people who barefoot are neurodivergent, but obviously not all people who barefoot are neurodivergent, and not all neurodivergent people barefoot. But a huge reason, you know, why me and Audrey barefoot is because of being neurodivergent.
I'm going to say, talk about what you know. Well, clearly we know this.
Yeah. And I know from experience that it can be hard to know how to take people's comments and questions when you're out in public, unless they're explicitly screaming at you, and then it's obvious that the person is just got it out for you. But sometimes too, like, it can be harder to recognize those more subtle, you know, social nuances and social cues, and that can also create a lot of anxiety, you know, when you're a neurodivergent barefooter. It's just, you know, you already know you're gonna have to deal with all these other things that overstimulate you, and then you don't know what your interaction is going to be. And even when you're having that interaction, it can be really hard to know what's actually happening and what's actually going on. And it can be really overwhelming, you know. And there are times where, like, I didn't realize till after the fact that people were trying to be rude about me barefooting, but I didn't see it that way.
Right.
I just thought, oh, maybe they're just asking a question. Like, I would ask a question if I was curious, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be very different. Dude, sorry, I've got someone calling me on my phone, and I'm like, you know, I'm in the middle of the show.
Hmm. But you're still going to answer it?
No.
It's dealing with people about, I don't know, trying to get them to understand it's not even my job to make someone understand why I do what I do. That's not my responsibility. My responsibility is everybody else to just be kind and considerate of other people and their feelings. But, like, unfortunately, people don't have the same thought process when it comes to us.
Well, and it's not your job to educate strangers, you know?
No.
Like, it's not your job to do that. It's
right.
None of our jobs. Like, obviously, like, what we do here on the radio show, that's a little different. This
mm-hmm.
is a set place where we can come in and talk about these experiences, help other people feel seen and heard, and hopefully give them some advice, you know, that helps them move forward, or at least help them feel seen and heard enough that it's not an it. You mean it's
right.
Not something that's going to be keep eating them up inside, you know. But outside of the show, outside of Barefoot is Legal, we really do not have that duty to educate people. Like, you know, like, yes, I do think we all, to some degree, have social responsibility to each other to, like, elevate society. collectively, and like we all do have our place and role to that. Mm-hmm. But if a person doesn't want to hear what you have to say and doesn't want to grow and elevate, that's not your problem. That's not your fault. You said what you had to offer and they didn't want to take it. So
exactly. That's
not your problem. Move on. You know, it's not your job to sit here and try to change people's minds. And that's something I've had to learn recently, even with people closer to me in my life, that it's not my job to sit here and try to change your mind.
Yeah.
You either respect me and what I do or you don't. You know, because you can tell somebody there are no laws and health codes against barefooting. That's a fact. And that's an information that you can easily kind of just share, you know. But it's not your job. But if they don't, if they want to sit and argue, it's not your job to make them believe facts.
Right.
It's not your job to teach them or get them to see the truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I know sometimes for myself, like I've been put in situations where I've taken on a little too much responsibility for other people and trying to change their minds so that way they can stop going on about ignorant bullcrap. And it's not my job to sit and make everyone unbelieve and unpack their ignorant bullcrap.
Yeah.
Like, yes, I can help them and share information and speak on the truth and speak on what I know and speak on love, but I can't sit there and make them believe.
Right.
You know, I can't. And also, that's just going to wear you down and drain you down. And I think that's a big thing with, like, social activism in general that we're seeing is a lot of people just being worn down and feeling broken down because they're having to fight so hard to get their message across when sometimes you just do have to give up on certain people. And instead, move on to people that are willing to hear your message, willing to hear what you have to say. And then you and those people can band together and do more work versus you just trying to talk to somebody that will never hear you out and just driving yourself crazy and draining yourself to nothingness, trying to get this one person to see things the way that they should. You know, and to leave behind bullcrap.
Right.
All you're doing is draining yourself when instead you could be speaking this to people that are willing to hear you. And instead of, yes, it may be draining to some degree because exerting energy is always going to be draining to some degree, but it's going to at least be more fruitful draining.
Mm-hmm.
The efforts and energy that may be draining that you're putting into people that are actually going to hear you out is going to be bearing more fruit than the nothingness that you're going to get from basically talking to someone that's like a wall that nothing goes through.
Right. No, you're not wrong there.
And that's something I've had to learn, you know, recently within, you know, close relationships with people, and I definitely feel like that relates to barefooting.
Mm-hmm.
Just realizing that at some point you do have to give up on certain people and things, and that
doesn't
make you a bad person. It's okay to put yourself first.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody doesn't respect your barefooting, doesn't respect the way you live the lifestyle or your needs in general, who cares? And I get it, it hurts, it stings, whatever, but at the end of the day, you always deserve better.
Yeah.
And, you know, barefooting is a very simple accommodation for ADHD and autism. It really is. And the fact that it's not even taken seriously is ridiculous.
Yeah. No, people see you as being a child or immature or dirty or gross or lazy or poor or whatever. And I'm like, none of those things happen to be true, actually. Like,
In fact,
the people that accuse you of that are generally, you know, the childish ones.
Yeah. Yeah.
The one that acting like they're too, like.
Well, I think a lot of the people that are immature like that and, again, want to act like they're too, it's just they're so entitled a lot of the time. It's this entitlement thing.
You're okay.
But, I don't know. It's this entitlement complex that forms, and it's draining. It's exhausting. It's ridiculous, even, and it's hard to deal with. So you just have to come to the point where you realize that this person isn't entitled to you. This person isn't entitled to anything that they have convinced you that they are.
No one's entitled to anything except air and water. Yes. And
like,
food. Anything else, unfortunately, we have to, you do work for it.
Yeah, well, and, like, we all do have our own basic necessities and our own basic needs, and that, you know, are valid, and on some level, yes, we all have the right to or are entitled to, but we are not entitled to everyone and everything that we want.
Right.
Like, yes, we are entitled to our needs being met, but that does not mean that we are entitled to expecting other people to meet them. Instead, we need to find those environments where we're in equilibrium with people.
Yeah.
Where our needs are met and their needs are met and there's equilibrium rather than this entitlement of I'm going to take what I want and I don't care about you.
Yeah.
Instead, because, like, you know, we all deserve to be loved. We all deserve fresh air, food, water, shelter, you know, belongingness. Like, we all have these basic needs that we do deserve. We have the right to, but we're not entitled to take those things from people.
Ooh.
No, and I totally understand what you're saying, but I just wanted to kind of communicate that a step further to people.
I'm too tired to think of words right now. My brain is, it's done.
I don't know how I'm even talking, like, or that I woke up this morning and I was like, I literally don't have words. And I think just thinking, like, you know, I've had a lot of things that have happened this week that, for me, caused a switch to flip in the sense that I'm just kind of done.
Yeah.
Taking people's crap. Like, you don't like me? Get over it. You have a problem with barefooting, you have a problem with this, you have a problem with that? Get over it.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Because, like, yes, we all have opinions. There's nothing to tell you. Like, we're all entitled to our opinion.
I know the Holy Words.
I don't know if he actually does anymore.
Oh.
No, there's light flickering and a bunch of outlets went out in the whole apartment building, so, like, none of us have lights. None of us on our porches. A lot of the outlets by our doors don't work. Sorry for the distractions, guys. I can't remember where I was going with this. I don't know. I'm just in a place where I just don't care anymore. In a lot of ways, because it's like everyone has their opinion. And yeah, we all have the right to have an opinion.
Opinions are like a-holes. Everyone's got one, but you don't always want to hear from one.
Yeah, and so it's like, yes, everyone has their opinion. And yes, we're all, you know, have that right to have our own opinions. But you have the right to your opinion, too.
Yeah.
Like, as your own individual, you have the right to your opinion. And what you believe and what you think, and this isn't even to sound narcissistic or egocentric, but it should trump the opinions of other people in your life.
Yeah. Well, because you're living your life for yourself.
Yeah. And so it's like you really should be the deciding ideology and doctrine of your life in a way. You know, not other people's belief systems, not other people's ideas. But at the same time, yes, we do need to be open-minded and reciprocal to hearing other perspectives, hearing other people's experiences.
Like, we shouldn't be like, oh, my opinion's the only thing that matters, screw all you guys. But at the same time, there is some truth to that.
We can't allow other people to be how we dictate our lives and how we live our lives. And I'm looking at this more from a reformed people pleaser side. Now, I get it. Some people need to learn the opposite. They need to learn to keep their opinions in check because of entitlement issues and being actually egotistical and egocentric.
Mm-hmm.
But I've noticed that a lot of people who are barefooters, you know, struggle with feeling belongingness and struggling with those people-pleasing mentalities even. And just feeling like you don't belong anywhere. And it's like,
yeah,
not belonging around certain people isn't always a bad thing.
Right.
Sometimes that's the best thing in the world. And one thing I had to realize, too, is, like, all the times that I felt like I didn't belong somewhere and, you know, how I was missing social cues and not really seeing people for who they really were. And once I finally did, I realized, oh, I'm glad I don't belong here.
Yeah.
I'm glad I'm not like you. I'm glad that I am the black sheep or the outcast or the outlier because I don't want to be like you.
Yeah.
If anything, you go against everything I believe with my empathy and like, with my heart.
Yeah, for sure. And so you have to do what is right for you.
You have to listen to your own body, you know, and there's a lot of healing power with connecting back to the earth. Like, I've been able to go out a couple times this week, and I swear that is the only thing that's kept me any form of lucid or ingrained in reality is just, you know, practicing and trying to take the time to come back into my body, like, consciously just, like, coming back into my body because, you know, with autism and ADHD, there's a lot of, you know, disassociation that can occur, but especially if you are somebody that has been through trauma of any kind, disassociation can be a big thing. And when you're dealing with stress, we can get so caught up in our head saying, you know, the times when I was able to go out because we've had beautiful weather this week in the mid upper 70s here in Ohio that I'm like absolutely enjoying. Just really taking that time to like come back into my body.
Mm-hmm.
Like literally just focusing on being present. And I think being barefoot, especially being barefoot in nature, is so crucial to that.
Yeah.
And you know, like I've talked about before, like there's research showing now that our bodies feel our emotions before our before they enter our minds consciously.
Yeah.
So we really do need to connect with our bodies to understand what we're feeling in order to heal. In order to just be present and to leave the past behind, because I know that's something that I've really struggled with for the last few months is just being so stuck in past areas of my life,
mm-hmm.
being stuck in, you know, trauma situations, trauma dynamics, and even if it's not like an actual flashback, but like, you know, stuck in that mentality of where I was at that time.
Memory nightmares?
Yeah, or even, yeah, nightmares, you know, night terrors of any kind. Like, you know, there's a lot of these things that it sounds absolutely ridiculous, but barefooting has helped me with my emotional healing, working through trauma, just coming together as a whole person, you know, with my mind, my heart, and my different energy centers in my body. Like, barefooting has been a huge aspect of that.
Yeah.
Barefooting is a huge aspect of my spirituality. You know, for me, when I'm out in nature, I look at it as communing with the earth. And barefooting, I feel like, is, like, the secret sauce to that experience.
Secret thing as well.
You know, so it's like, I feel like without it, it wouldn't be the same experience by any means.
Right. No, it wouldn't. Yeah.
I literally would not be connected or grounded to the earth with my shoes on.
No. Not at all. But then that's something that's like, if that's what you're trying to do, is find, like, I don't know, the completeness in yourself, I guess, so to speak. It's realizing, too, that, you know,
for better or worse, we are part, the earth is us, we are part of the earth. So
yeah.
It makes sense that connecting directly through your feet is, you know, is the most effective way to get there and to figure out what you are, who you are, what you're doing. That's at least my opinion. I mean, take it for what you want. So, you know, like I said, we all have our own opinions and our own thoughts and our own on everything, but that's, I can't speak on others because I don't know others, but I do know mine.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just.
But I also.
That, and even like, but see, that's the thing though, is even being in public, it's like, there should not be anything wrong or derogatory about being barefoot in public. Like, it's just basically, I mean, obviously it's different, but it's, you know, the same at the same time. I don't know if that even makes sense, but like.
Similar, maybe?
Yeah, it's like, why does it only have to be outside? Why, when you're in a place, when you're going in somewhere that's supposed to keep your place clean anyway, why would they?
Yeah.
I don't.
No, I get it, because it's like, okay, if I can safely barefoot in nature and like,
Well, I went.
Or even in a parking lot, or on the sidewalk, or through yards that you don't know. Which I don't walk through people's yards. I'm like, you know, that little like curb bit between the sidewalk and the road, like whatever. But like, why would it suddenly be bad to be in a store? And they're worried about your safety.
Yeah, and it's like if I can go and hike safely out in nature barefoot, why should there? Like, what's so different about your grocery store?
Yep.
Like, come on. Like, there's, you know, people want to talk about the wild and nature and the wild, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, so,
well,
if
like
I can barefoot in nature, what's keeping me from your store? Like
when Lowe's the other day, I was talking about the, there could be splinters. I'm like, even despite the fact that that would be on me, grounds and through mulch and in the middle of the woods. And you're right about a splinter?
It was actually like a story from going out with my friends this week. But sorry.
No, you're good.
I wasn't sure if that was your finishing thought.
That's basically it. Like, you're worried about a splinter? If I'm not worried about it, it's my foot. Why are you so worried about it?
Well, one of the days when I went out by myself, I did get some splinters in the top of my foot. It's never the bottom of my foot. It's because
that's the truth. I always have the top of my foot.
Because the top of your foot doesn't build up calluses.
Exactly.
So, like, what happened was it wasn't like I went, like, off the path to the point that, like, I was, like, endangering nature. If anything, it was like there was a water area and there was a more direct path to the water because, like, say I'm along this shore, but like basically, and so it's like just off the path on the shore, but I ended up, like, the way I went through, there was like a little bush, and so when I literally, if I was 2 feet over, I would have avoided the bush basically. So, like, hard to explain. So I did get some in the top of my foot, and first thing I got, like, five or something. The first two were pretty easy to get out. It was like nothing. And the other ones I had a little more trouble with, but it was like whatever in the bush, like, broke off my foot even.
Oh,
so
probably a thorn.
Yeah. And, but it wasn't too bad. So it's never the bottom of my foot. And so that was like an experience that I already had earlier in the week by myself. But then I had gone out the other day with two of my friends, and where we went, there was a bunch of brush clearing that they did. And this was actually a different location than where I got the splinters in the first place, in the top of my foot from the bush, or like little thorns, whatever. So we went out into a different location and that I'm also very familiar with. And there was a bunch of like brush that they've cleared. And so there's like, you know, stray sticks that definitely look perfect for splinters. I get it. I do. But they're like, how are you walking on this? Like, are you good? But every now and then I'd stop and make sure I'd brush my feet off. Or, and a lot of times, too, I can usually tell when I need to brush something off my foot so it doesn't go.
Yeah, I can tell as soon as I set it, like, and I, like, quickly pull the weight off my foot, dust it off, and, like, I'm good to go.
Yeah.
Typically.
And so sometimes, obviously, like, it'll be, like, it could still be stuck to my foot, but it's not in my foot.
Yeah.
And so it's, like, or I've also learned how to be able to walk and navigate through areas like that so I don't end up with splinters.
Your feet learn, you know, they bend and twist and curve and crunch differently around and grip, even better than shoes. I'm less likely to get hurt when I'm barefoot because my feet will move in ways they can't in shoes. Like, the shoes keep your foot
100%
straight,
agree, yeah.
And you can't get that grip. You start sliding, you're most likely going down.
Well, it gives full range of mobility.
Exactly. Like, and if, like, I'm barefoot, like, my feet can grip down, my toes will automatically go, and my feet will curve and stop it, typically.
Yeah, and so there are so many benefits to it. I mean, you know, even for me when I go out, like, there are physical benefits of, like, it really just helps my body, because even with fibromyalgia, if you are too stuck or too rigid for too long, that can cause problems, just like too much movement. And I have had to be careful because there have been times, you know, here and there throughout this week where I have overdone it physically because I'm in a better headspace. So when you're having one of those high periods where you can just keep running, keep going, you're not running literally for me anyways, but for some of y'all maybe, but you know what I mean? You can keep going. And, you know, you feel unstoppable. My movement's a lot better. I feel in control of my body. And it's usually when I'm out in nature and, you know, and I may overdid it because I'm just, you know, probably the endorphins, too, like, that I get from nature.
Taking the dopamine.
Yeah. As well as the general improved effects on my body that sometimes when I'm outside of nature, a couple hours later, I'm like, oh my gosh, like I'm, you know, I just feel the effects of it. I said it overdid it. It's like a workout though. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I don't have anything against it. To me, it's like a workout where I am able to step back into my body. It helps me, you know, on my hikes, like I'm able to center my emotions, regulate myself emotionally, regulate my nervous system in general from overstimulation. All my creative thoughts become clearer because sometimes when you're a creative person and you're, especially when you're neurodivergent, it can be all come all cluttered in your head that you can't make any sense out of it.
True.
So it can help with, you know, my different creative projects and stuff. It can help with certain projects that I'm planning on sharing eventually.
When
like
you
with
get blocked, when you get blocked and you don't know what you're doing, you have to figure out remember what you're going to do.
So like if you are working on an important project and you feel blocked, try going out in nature. Like this week when I went out with two of my friends, one of my friends, you know, she it was in between two of her classes at college, and she was just having a really, like, low motivation type of week. And I know afterwards she was, like, being out in nature really did help. Excuse me. It really did help her to just feel like her brain was working again, to just get those blockages out. So if you're feeling blocked, if you're feeling stuck, if you're feeling overstimulated, I recommend trying barefooting in nature.
Yeah.
And, you know, I definitely look for something that's a little more got, like, softer dirt paths. Maybe avoid something with too many sharp rocks or too many rocks in general if you're new to the game.
Yeah.
But
start with what you're comfortable with.
Yeah, or just start with a grass patch, you know, sit out in your front yard or something at a park. Or, you know, if you have any, like, public outside spaces in your, if you live in an apartment, you know, maybe try to, you know, find a bench or whatever playground where you can, you know, sit comfortably with yourself and, you know, I don't know, whatever. Because, you know, a lot of apartments do have some form of, like, outdoor public space, whatever that may look like for you, maybe you try that, you know, and just sit on the grass. You could start by just reading a book, you know, find something that you find relaxing to do as well. So that way you don't feel maybe as awkward or as uncomfortable or just like, oh, you're sitting out there. It's like, what do I do with my thoughts? What do I do with my head? You know, maybe
yeah.
in a game, I've gotten real back into playing Tetris again, which was like one of my favorite games since like fourth grade. Such a nerd.
That's adorable.
And, you know, so sometimes for me, which, well, when I think about it too, it's kind of funny because like, like, I'll play, like, the marathon games, but I just start thinking about how, like, I am pretty good at it. I'm not going to say I'm the best, but even, like, my partner, sometimes when it's, like, when I've played long enough and, like, things are getting, like, heated in the Tetris game, he's like, how are you moving those pieces that fast? Like, I can't even see them, and you've already got them placed somewhere, or then they work perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, like, and maybe, I think all of this too is, like, the pattern recognition with being autistic is
right.
a strong suit. I think it's part of, for me, I think that's part of why, like, Tetris is always my favorite game, why I was always good at it.
Yeah.
It's just that pattern recognition and being able to do that just, like, quickly. But for me, like, even just sitting out on the grass and playing Tetris, like, kind of like a form of meditation for me, you know, because when I'm playing a game and it's like I've got that like stimulation aspect, but then it's like I'm stimulated while also allowing my thoughts to become more free in my head and I can make sense of them. And that's why, like, you know, someone might be like, oh my gosh, like, how are you doing that so quickly? I don't even think about it because I'm so in my head that to me it's just automatic at this point.
At that point, you're not actually in your brain, you're not actually playing the game. You're, like, your eyes and your hands are, but you're thinking about other stuff.
Yeah, and so even if you want to...
clearing up the deep spaces of your brain.
Yeah, and so even if you want to just sit outside and play some kind of game on your phone that's entertaining to you, you can incorporate that in your barefooting.
Right.
Especially if it's something that you're new to and you're just trying out. And, you know, just sit in the grass or sit in a chair with your feet in the grass or sit at a bench, whatever, and kind of, you know, keep your mind busy while allowing just the excess electrical energy to anchor back to the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you go to Real Barefoot is Legal on Instagram, that is our Instagram page for the organization,
And in the bio link, there is a Linktree link, and there's some resources that I've put together, that we've put together over, like, you know, grounding and the science of it. And it shows that too much electrical energy in the body is bad, and that a lot of chronic health issues have, you know, most likely formed, started, and escalated from our bodies having too much electrical charge in them. Because most of the shoes that we've worn over the last couple decades, they have a rubber sole. And what does rubber do? Stop the flow of electrons, stop the flow of electrical energy to the earth. And everything on earth is grounded to the earth.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we keep things from combusting.
Yeah, exactly. Overloading and going.
Yeah, and the same thing applies to us as people. I mean, really, we're like plants. Put your roots to the ground and your head up to the side.
Yeah.
Like, we really are like complex plants, you know? And
for cucumbers with anxiety.
Cucumbers with anxiety. But, yep.
I'm so tired. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. I feel it. And I'm definitely glad, though, that it's warming up. And I think that that makes it a lot easier for a lot of us barefooters to just feel human again. But it is a hard, energetic time, you know, and it has been for a while. You know, the sun is finishing up.
Did you know we have a technical second moon right now?
Hmm.
Google it. There's an asteroid that got caught in our gravitational pull about 3 years ago. I'm like, well, that explains it all, doesn't it?
Yeah, I thought I heard something about that, but I wasn't sure how true it is. I don't,
yeah.
So I kind of just dismissed it, but I'd have to
we actually
look
looked
it
up. We actually looked into it. It's actually, it's due to be in our electrical or in our orbital field, basically, for like 4 more years or something.
And I think that that's going to add to some of the craziness, but I personally feel like it is probably here to help us. As, you know, an astrologer, and I use Real Sky Astrology, I haven't really been posting as much. I've been in my hibernation period. I'm in the process of coming out once Aries season starts. I know I'll be ready to go. But we are in the last couple of days of Pisces season. Between the 20th and the 22nd, depending on the date, it could depend on where you are, like, you know, with time zones and stuff. But during that period, the sun is going to be officially transitioning into Aries. Unfortunately, a lot of people think that we're already almost done with Aries season, and we're not. This is because tropical astrology, unfortunately, is a false system. It does not line with the real sky.
Well, because it was a set in stone, like, this is how it is and how it's going to be forever. It didn't take into account how everything moves.
Yeah, and when tropical astrology was first formed, though, it did line up with the real sky.
Mm-hmm.
But the real sky is constantly altering and changing and moving, and there are always these constant changes. And that's why sidereal and Vedic astrology use like calculations, but even those aren't 100% accurate.
Mm-hmm.
And that's nothing against those studies, because at the time, before we had the astronomy software that we do have now, they were the most accurate and close to lining up with the real sky, because they took into consideration that there are significant changes in the sky every 72 years. But those were like projected calculations that they couldn't be for sure. But now, you know, the average person can access astronomy software. Like, I use AustraliaWeb.org. And also there's the Night Sky app, and there's Australium app, but there's certain things that you have to pay for on the app that are actually free on that online web browser.
Mm.
So I recommend using it on, like, a desktop or a laptop of some kind. And I know people always want to argue, and they're like, but astrology is the study of the ancients, blah, blah, blah. Okay, let's try.
So is math, and it's going to come great ways.
Yeah, and also, hear me out for a second. What did the ancients do? They followed the real sky.
Hmm.
The study of tropical astrology had developed from them assessing the real sky. And then, you know, Vedic astrology has been around for a really long time, because which is a form of Indian astrology. And they
you know, realize that, oh, every 72 years there are significant changes. We need to try to accommodate for this. We need to make some adjustments.
Right.
And now most Vedic astrology is a lot more aligning with the real sky than it would have at other points because of the use of astronomy software and those things being more accessible to us now. But also, I'm not going to hate on people's cultural practices. You know, it can be very different. And if you're aware, too, that it doesn't line up with the real sky, there could be a particular reason why you're using it.
Yeah.
But if your goal is to line up with the clockwork of the true, like, astronomical bodies or celestial bodies, then you need to be following the real sky. And unfortunately, most people don't know, actually, too, that it's, and even at whatever your opinion is on them, I don't care. But most people actually don't know that it's the Roman Catholic Church that has control of the tropical calendar. And that's how, like, Easter's decided. That's how a lot of religious holidays are decided. And rather than them occurring every year on the same date, they're actually based upon the moon and the sun cycle. But even some of that is actually been inaccurate.
Well, yeah, because if it's the same day, like Easter is always on a Sunday and that kind of thing.
And also Easter is also based around the, vernal equinox or spring equinox more than people even realize. And so, yeah, there's a lot to it, but when you're following the real sky, the sun is still in Pisces. We are finishing up and, you know, Pisces is ruled or does rule the feet or the root chakra. And the root chakra or our feet are, is connected to, you know, childhood trauma, family trauma, even, you know, past lives, if you believe in that kind of thing. And so I think that, yes, like Pisces season has been really long, but this is a death period for a lot of old timelines, old ways of thinking within our own lives and within society. And we shouldn't fear death because death has to happen before rebirth can. And so even if you're someone that's struggling with your mental health, like there are times in my life where I have struggled with suicidal thoughts and tendencies. And one thing that really got me out of it was really just assessing what death is and what that means. And so one of those transitional thoughts for me was realizing that I as a whole being don't need to die and I shouldn't have to and I shouldn't want that. But there are parts of me that are outdated, that are expired, that need to die. There are past relationships that have, that, you know, kept me in those really depressing thought patterns and really held me into self-hate that I had to assess, like, this relationship needs to die. You know, mm-hmm. These things are outdated. They're expired. They need to die so that I can be reborn and so that I can move forward with my life. And so I hope that there are people out there that can kind of gain something from that and realizing that, you know, you might not actually want to die. You just want certain things to be over. You mm-hmm. just want certain to be out of these things. And the only way out of them is through them. So, you know, and that's not saying keep surrounding yourself in toxic people. Like, no, just, but you can't just ignore it. You have to work through it. You have to walk past these people. You can't just keep being afraid of approaching them, keeping them at arm's length. No, you have to walk past them because they're just in the way on your path. The more you keep backing up, trying to get away from them because you're too afraid to walk past them, you're holding yourself back in a false, outdated timeline of yourself, an old version of yourself that has expired. You need to walk past them, walk through them. You feel these intense emotions, figure out where they're stemming from. Figure out why you're feeling them in the first place. Because there probably is a reason. And once you realize why you feel like crap, you'll realize what you need to cut out and what is weighing you down and what weighed you down and what false ideas that you were taught as a child or taught throughout your adolescence or early adulthood and throughout relationships or throughout any kind of experience in your life, what false ideas you were taught that have been hanging around your neck like a noose. And how can you just cut that noose and set yourself free? Because you don't need to die. It's just past versions of yourself are expired and you need to put them to rest, you know? And there's I can't remember what song it is, but there's a song, but just picked out an early grave, not for me, just to bury S words. I can't remember the rest of it, but it's really good where it's just like, but that really resonated with me. Like, yeah, I just picked out an early grave, not for me, but to bury stuff, you know, all the weight that I've been carrying, something, something. But anyway, and, you know, that like really resonated with me over this past Pisces season. And if you're wondering like, oh my gosh, why has everyone been feeling crazy? Pisces season. Now, Mercury and Venus are in Aries. So there's some more fiery energy. Your head and your heart might be before your identity, you know. So when the sun, you know, has a lot to do with our identity and our consciousness. So allow yourself to finish untying these knots. Allow yourself to finish allowing out expired and outdated things to just die so that you can be reborn and so that the things that need to keep flourishing and need to keep living within you can actually thrive because, you know, all the nutrients isn't being sucked up by bad things, if that makes any sense. What'd you say?
It's like deadhead your marigold.
Yes, deadhead your marigold.
You gotta pop off the bag so you don't take the water and stuff from the dirt.
Which is really interesting because even marigolds in Mexican culture with like El Dia de los Muertos is associated with death, and it's believed that the petals create like a path for the dead to come back and go back, mm-hmm. like back and forth during that time period. So, you know, even you can even look at that, and this, you know, comes from like Mayan and Aztec cultures with how they looked at the marigolds as being connected to, you know, like the underworld or death. And so it's really important that we're not afraid of these things. You know, it's okay to say that done. This part of me is done. This chapter of mine is done. Like, that's okay. And that's very freeing and beautiful. And, you know, if people don't want to be a part of your journey, don't hold on to them. Let them go, because if somebody doesn't want to be a part of your journey, whether it's barefooting or healing, and I definitely, you know, throw in a lot of healing here because barefooting is so key to healing, and I think it's important to have these healing themes in mind when you barefoot as well, because you'll get so much benefits out of them. But whether it's your barefoot journey or healing journey, or if you're someone like me who, you know, is getting diagnosed as neurodivergent later in life, you know, as an adult, if somebody does not want to be a part of that journey that is yours, don't put on to them, because you need to get out of the scarcity mindset. And this is something I've had to work through. I think a lot of people need to work through. Get out of the scarcity mindset. Mm-hmm. If somebody doesn't want to be a part of your journey, good riddance, because all they're going to do is weigh you down, hold you back, add more stress, add more pressure, add more weight, when you could just cut that weight and fly.
Open it up to someone who will help you.
Yeah, or open it up to people that understand you, where you could have an equilibrium of helping and supporting each other. But you also have to allow yourself to admit what you're thinking and what you're feeling. You know, people can't help you if they don't understand. And if you don't set those boundaries, how can somebody know what is the breaking point? How can somebody know how to help you? How can somebody know what's really going on if you don't get to the place where you can communicate that? And, you know, as barefooters, you know, a lot of us being neurodivergent, that can make it really hard to communicate and stand up for ourselves, because a lot of the times we can struggle with a consistent image of self and a consistent social awareness and how we fit into society with other people. But also, too, when you're a barefooter and you're just looked at this outcast, like you don't belong, it can be really hard to listen to your body and your needs, even when you want to so badly and you know that you should and you know that you deserve to listen to your body and that your body deserves better. It can be really hard because you're caught up in other people's crap and other people's ways of thinking, and you just have to
remember that if you, you know, set a boundary and somebody's not okay with it, or if you're like, this is something I need and someone's not okay with it, like, that's their problem. It's not yours. So you just have to move out of the scarcity mindset and quit worrying about if people are going to be mad at you or if you're not going to be accepted. Or, and I know we talked about too, it can be really hard and stressful, like going into a store and not knowing like what the social interaction is going to be like, especially as a barefooter, especially if you're a neurodivergent barefooter, that can make things even more messier. Or if you're somebody that has anxiety or depression and you're a barefooter, even, you know, mental health struggles can make it harder. You just have to reframe your mindset to, why does it matter? Why does it care? Like, why do they care? Why should I care even what they think?
Why does it care?
Like,
I don't know why. I don't know why that was funny.
It was, though, but, like, you know, you just have to live your best life and listen to your body and allow yourself to come back into your body, because barefooting will help you come back into your body for sure.
My body golden tired.
The body golden tired. I feel that. And I'm also.
We're not on that right now. Moving on.
But
I think we need to do an ad break. It's 2:30.
Oh, yeah. I just realized. So we're going to run a quick ad break, folks, and then we will be back. So this is Barefoot is Legal with Audrey and Phoenix.
Earthing, also known as grounding, is the act of touching our body's skin directly to the earth, just like our ancestors did as they slept, sat, and walked on the ground nearly every day of their lives. This simple connection allows Earth's natural negative electrons to enter the human body, pacifying dangerous free radicals, which, if left unchecked, can cause severe damage to cells that can lead to many chronic diseases. Ground Therapy's patented process and suite of products were designed for you to experience all the benefits of grounding in your busy and modern lifestyle. And you'll experience the benefits of grounding within the safety and comfort of your home or office throughout the entire day, just as if you were touching the earth itself.
The information is provided for general informational purposes only. The contents are not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Ground Therapy Incorporated makes no representations about the efficiency, appropriateness, or suitability of any specific tests, procedures, treatments, services, opinions, healthcare providers, or other information that may be contained in or available through the information provided.
Hey everyone, Proof here again. I want to let you know that you want to protect yourself against this upcoming food shortage that's about to happen. I know with all this COVID stuff that growing your own food is going to be extremely important right now. So I want to introduce you to my friends over at groundwithagarden.com, and you can get yourself hooked up with a vertical garden that you can grow inside or outside of your house. So if you have a back patio or you don't have room outside, you can grow in either way. And I have a bunch of stuff growing on mine. I have pictures to share. I love this thing. This is the best garden and most successful that I've ever had for gardening for my own self. So let me give you the website again, groundwithagarden.com. That's groundwithagarden.com.
Freaks, outsiders, weirdos, the wallflowers. Oddball, loser, fish out of water, speak up. Talk quieter. We are different. There's no arguing. It's a fact. A patchwork of flaws, we grow and adapt. We're funky, unconventional, see life through kaleidoscope eyes. In a field full of clovers, with our four leaves, we bask in blue skies. Flaws are natural. Our imperfections, our weaknesses, our scars. There is a misfit in all of us. We just have to be brave enough to embrace who we are.
Most people say they hate wearing shoes and would go barefoot if they knew they were allowed. People say it all the time on their social medias, but they are worried that someone will say something to them. so everyone wears the cheapest flip-flops with the least amount of fabric on them. Most people do not even know that it's completely 100% legal to go barefoot into a store. Most people think that driving barefoot is illegal, but it isn't. Driving barefoot actually is safer than wearing most shoes. Going outside barefoot for a walk is one of the healthiest things you could do, but most people are afraid someone will say something. Or they quote the myths and the rumors that their grandma told them years ago. The fact is, there are no laws against driving a car, going to a store, or eating in a restaurant barefoot. So don't give in to bad fashion, hurt heels, or a broken flip-flop. For more information, please check out barefootislegal.org or find us on your favorite social media.
I've heard stories from teachers in classes where their students are grounded that they have half the level of referrals for discipline. Some students who were in tears because they were experiencing success when before they were experiencing failure with their behavior and discipline. I've heard stories from teachers with autistic children who have been grounded where they have less of what they call the meltdowns. And the meltdowns are less frequent and shorter, and they come back into the classroom and they're learning more than they had learned prior to the grounding. It's amazing what happens, not just with the teacher at the front of the class, but what can happen with the student sitting in the class. And just think, if every single student and every single teacher and every single classroom and every single school across this whole world was grounded.
The information is provided for general informational purposes only. The contents are not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Ground Therapy Incorporated makes no representations about the efficiency, appropriateness, or suitability of any specific tests, procedures, treatments, services, opinions, healthcare providers, or other information that may be contained in or available through the information provided.
Hello, folks. We are back with Barefoot is Legal Radio. Barefoot is Legal is a nonprofit organization dedicated to the rights and legalities of living the barefoot lifestyle, as well as tips, tricks, empowerment, and just discussing general themes and ideas around being a barefooter. Audrey and I, Phoenix speaking, we're both neurodivergent individuals, so we do spend a lot of time, highlighting and talking about that because...
Or talking about random stuff that doesn't actually apply because we get distracted.
Or also just healing elements. And for me, I always, I feel like look at it, barefooting to me, barefooting and healing to me is like the same thing, but I understand to a lot of people, they're like, maybe like what? Like, but I think I can't stress enough how much barefooting has been so beneficial to healing my body and healing myself emotionally, healing from traumas, doing, spiritual work. Like, there is a lot of healing that barefooting does help with.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really important to listen to your body and also know that your experience as a barefooter is valid. You deserve to have boundaries. You deserve to have your own limitations. And you also deserve to have accommodations if barefooting is a legitimate accommodation for you that helps.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is a legitimate accommodation for many people. I know for myself with learning, with processing new information, with social awareness even, but like spatial awareness, which is something I can struggle with, which is a common struggle for people with autism and even ADHD, but also, I don't know if I already said something about emotional regulation, just general chronic illness symptoms. Like, there's so much healing that barefooting is a part of. And I know it probably sounds crazy or ridiculous to people that have never experienced it, which is why I'm like, try it for yourself. Try it.
Yeah. Try it. You might like it.
But also,
damn, I am.
But also, if you're somebody that, also is like, oh my God, barefooting is like the secret sauce to healing or to, coming back into my body and being present and helping combat disassociation and, numbness, and has really helped me heal. Just know that you're not crazy. You're not the only one.
It's legit, man.
It is. And
the bee's knees.
Or the bee's feet.
Ow! Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
I'm not sorry.
Well, I was sorry. I don't know.
Why are you apologizing to me?
I don't know.
I just think I'm like, are you okay? And I'm just like, oh, sorry you feel like that. Sorry, just some back issues, not just randomly yelling for no reason. But I don't know. It is very important to remember that we are complex organisms. We have so many different functioning parts and that are all working together. And we need to start looking at ourselves at holistically. Look at the whole body, the whole person. Look at all of the pieces of us and how they function and how they work together and how they make up who we are. Because, you know, if there's a dysfunction in one area, it's going to cause eventually a dysfunction in probably all areas of your life. And or it's going to cause you to overcompensate with certain things. It's going to cause other issues. Yes, and overcompensation isn't a dysfunction as well. It is.
Yeah.
You know?
It's not functioning properly. Therefore.
Yeah. And when you're having to overcompensate for something else not functioning properly, it's going to cause you to become burnt out in other areas. But, and I didn't know if you had any other barefooting experiences or thoughts that particularly you wanted to discuss on this week.
Personally, I'm not gonna lie, but I did get to go hiking Wednesday. I went out and I took a path that I thought I'd taken before, and then I'm like, I don't know where I am. So that was fun. But I found my way out, obviously, because I'm here now.
Really, I had no idea.
I'm still there.
Mentally, probably. That's where I am right now. I'm in the woods.
That's why I'm not so talkative. I know normally I talk a lot more than this. I'm just this. This last week has just burned my brain out.
And it's okay to be burnt out.
And I'm doing good to stay the side of the dirt right now. But
I give you permission to be burnt out.
I don't need
it from anybody. I'm just saying, if you needed it from anybody, even though you shouldn't need it.
I did go, where did I go? I went. Oh, I had my knee appointment. And then I also had, which I have to run another MRI. So that'll be fun. And then my heart doctor this week or last week. I don't remember. I was barefoot at both of those, so it's like,
did you this week have any problems with being barefoot at them?
That's how they know by now. Like, that's the one that the heart doctor's going to try to tell me I would have to wear shoes whenever I do a stress test. I'm like, nope. But otherwise, she doesn't say anything about it. You could tell, I can see what her thoughts are about it on her face, but she does keep them not spoken. So that's considered. She's at least professional about it in that capacity.
I could understand them having you wear the shoes you wear to work.
Like, or
that you're required to.
Yeah.
Well, I could understand them doing the stress test on the shoes that you're required to wear at work, because that might actually help to some degree get results. But I think they should do two forms of the stress test and see how your body honestly responds differently with shoes, because I'm sure your stress test with shoes on would be a lot worse than it is when you're barefoot. And if anything,
which then leads me to think maybe I should take them. I was just going to not take them anyway, because that's how I roll.
But you could also, you know, ask through being a heart doctor, because maybe that could help you in the long run get accommodations for work if they can show that there's a huge difference.
That's a good freaking idea. See, that's why I still talk to you, Phoenix. I'm sitting here trying to figure out why I even bother with you.
Me too, some days. I'm like, well, what am I?
I don't know. I don't know why I bother with myself some days.
So, girl,
okay.
I feel that. Yeah.
But, they're still not sure, and I was rereading the actual doctor notes that they released, and I'm like, there's stuff that they didn't actually verbalize that they're concerned about, but I think they didn't want to worry me. I'm like, oh, fantastic.
But that doesn't even help. If you're worried about worrying a patient, why don't you have, like, a good conversation where you can, like, ease their fears.
Okay, so most of my doctors generally do, but it could also be that they're not even 100% convinced about what it is, so they don't want to even bring something up that they're not convinced on in case. It just causes more strikes than anything.
You don't want to cause a false panic.
Exactly. Like, even when they're not even 100% sure, because, you know, everything about me is an enigma, literally. It takes forever to find an answer for anything with me. But no, my knee doctor, he originally said he was going to send me some other guy because he's like, there's nothing he could do for me. Can you realize he was looking at the MRI from 2019?
Oh, God.
He goes, wait, have we done a recent one? I was like, it's been a while. He said, I didn't realize I was looking at the test from 2019. I'm like, that's 4 years ago, dude. He's like, yeah, we're going to do another one of those.
Yeah.
Because my knee's been, that's when I tore my meniscus, but not enough to need surgery.
And but my knee has been progressive. Like, I've always had bad knees, but it's been getting worse and worse. And now it's like you can see the swelling and it's bruised. And I'm not hitting on it. You saw it. It's bruised and swollen.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know. But he's like, but in the notes he put it, he thinks it might be the meniscal tear.
Mm-hmm.
So it might be getting worse. So it might be surgical. He put it in, it's pre-surgical, and I don't like that idea. But anyway.
But it's better to know. And
yeah, it is.
Properly.
But
it's okay to have those fears and anxiety.
So, and I'm just not even worried about it. I'm like, it is, it's going to be what it's going to be. After this week, I'm like, if I survive, if you knew everything that happened this last week, survive that, I'll be fine.
No, dude, I don't know what's
going on. I might need today and tomorrow,
like,
off work
that.
To recuperate my brain and get it back to where I can actually, you know, be of service to others. My students in particular, my family double in particular, but like, not that that makes sense, but you know what I mean? So I guess it makes sense.
Yeah.
Anyway, what was I doing?
Just what you said through this week and how it's like, if I can survive this.
Yeah. Jesus.
Yeah, no, I kind of had a shift like that yesterday where I got to that place, but then unfortunately, a couple hours later, got overstimulated, had a meltdown that, like,
oh
my gosh.
I snapped at a coworker and cried in my classroom, okay? So.
Yeah. And
I was so glad it was, we were all, like, so glad it's Friday.
Yeah.
And then, well, tonight I get to go, I'm going to an overnight with my youngest son to the zoo. We get to see nocturnal animals at night.
Oh, my God.
I'm super excited about that.
Awesome.
I'm going to attempt to barefoot it. We'll see if they say anything to me. Actually, I'll have information on that for y'all next week.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie, though. I am going to kind of cheat a little bit and wear one of my longer skirts just to hide them a little bit longer at least. But
also, if you've had a long week and a really just frustrating time and you've been through a lot, sometimes you really just need to just have some peace of mind. And if wearing a longer skirt gives you a little bit more peace of mind, and maybe people won't harass
you,
who
cares? My barefoot sandals I lost.
And my whole thing is, like,
on to trick them.
Honestly, who cares? I think this whole, like, idea of being like, oh, you're not really a barefoot because you put socks on or you had a long skirt on, that's just some elitist bullcrap that, is, if anything, is just causing more division between us.
Right. I
you know?
Like, it's not that I'm not really a barefooter. I don't want to get what I'm trying to tell me. I will put them in my back. And I will put them in my backpack for this event. Like, normally I don't, but, like, I will take them because here's the thing. This thing's expensive. It's for Scout. But it's, like, it was expensive, and it's for my kid. And I'm like, I don't want him to have to leave because I don't want to push it. But that's lame. I'm not going to do that to my kid. I'm like, not. But.
No, I get it.
But,
No, it makes sense.
Yeah, so, but I'm explaining it. You see, it's Asia. The Asia area. The Asian, I guess would be more appropriate way to say it. I don't know. Words. Anyway.
There'll be a lot of, like, those, like, Asian nocturnal animals.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be really cool. Something that we don't really get to see around here. Like,
ever.
That's awesome.
I'm so excited. Oh, my gosh. Apparently, I just woke up finally. What just happened? Oh,
I can understand just having a flip switch. Like, I mean, I'm not going to get into it on air or with anybody right now, but, you know, I ended up in a really unsafe situation last week that I honestly look at how, it probably should have traumatized me, but for me, it was like a flip scripter or script flipper or whatever you want to say.
Script flipper.
It was. It was like, I'm done. I'm done caring about what people think. I'm done letting people intimidate me. Like, I'm going to exist. You have a problem with it. Get over yourself because I'm not doing anything wrong. And I'm living my best life by trying to just be a person of love and healing and wanting to just connect and inspire people and be inspired by others.
I decided I'm going to start carrying a copy of my marriage certificate around. And when people say anything, I'm just going to pop it out and be like, yeah. I don't need permission. But if I did from anybody, it's this guy, not you. That you're not on this with me. You're not there. Like, literally.
And,
like,
and as I know, you're
and I don't even
very,
need,
very respectful and
I don't even need permission
with your,
like,
barefooting and everything else.
Yeah.
So, like,
I'm like, I don't bother anybody about anything because I'm like, who am I to judge anybody? I know I live a quote unquote odd lifestyle, but you know what? It's still a safe and respectful one. Although I did almost fall off a cliff last night, so I don't know how safe that is. I got a little too close, and well, with my knee being the way it is, it gave out, right, like literally a foot and a half from it.
I had a crazy similar experience in Colorado. Thank God for my partner, because I'm like,
coherent and intact.
Oh.
Because he made sure I was good.
I was by myself. Like,
oh, gosh.
And y'all wouldn't have found me for a minute. You know, then. Oh, but anyway, I don't remember why I was even talking about that, friends, but here we are. But, no, I get it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But I was thinking about, too, about, like, the stress testing with your heart, and I'm just thinking about, too, how, like, there's all this research to show that barefooting exponentially helps heart conditions, because especially having too much electrical energy in your body can affect your heart. And what most people don't know is that our hearts are actually more electrical
than
our brains.
Funny story, I can share this from doing my, like, I check my own blood pressure regularly and heart rate,
mm-hmm.
but especially when it's, like, janky.
Uh-huh.
But, like, the most common days for me to have when my heart rate, like, randomly, it'll randomly spike up to, like, 160 doing nothing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is not healthy for anybody.
Yeah.
But Friday. Mondays and Tuesdays are usually, like, I might get a little bit of my symptoms, but not really. But, like, Wednesday through Friday and is usually when I have the worst symptoms.
And it's probably
that's when I have to have shoes on.
Yeah, anything about too, like, the first
think
two
about
days
that.
May not, in the first 2 days may not be as bad. We think by day three to day four, day five of having to wear shoes because it's a requirement at your workplace because of a safety policy that they put in play that could be causing issues.
Yeah.
So I'm honestly think that this would be a good possible recommendation for you, but anybody else out there with heart issues, if barefooting in general is accommodation for you, I would honestly look into having your cardiologist or whoever's doing the stress test for you, have them do a comparison between with shoes and without shoes and see what the differences are, because I'm sure that a lot of people are going to have higher responses on the stress test with shoes on. I'm sure that there's probably something there, and I'm sure that could be a gateway step to getting legitimate accommodation.
The downside to that, the only thing I can think of with that is it's going to be expensive because here's the thing.
Yeah. No,
it's I feel like insurance is only going to pay for the one.
Yeah.
But
I didn't
find out how much
that
test is.
Yeah.
I would need to find out how much the test is so that way I know if I could afford to do it a second time.
Yeah.
But, because here's what they would probably do.
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine they would like, I would come in one day and do it and then a different day to do the other one. I don't think they, because, and that's how I prefer it, honestly. I would prefer to like the one I do with first shoes wise would be like, it would be a work day. Well, I mean, they're all on a work day. But, like, wear them all day, leave them on as much as it would pain me when I left. Because what they do, too, is at first they do, like, a regular echo, then they do the treadmill bit, and then they do another echo to see what your heart's doing after that.
Well, and my whole
I got
thing,
some
too,
thoughts,
is
thoughts boiling in my brain.
I'm wondering if, you know, that there could be a way around that, too, with insurance. If you're coming to your doctor saying, hey, I think barefooting might be a good accommodation for my heart issues or whatever it is, and see if they're willing to basically refer both those tests and, you know, tell your insurance, hey, you need both of those tests
how
to
cool
prove
to
if this is a helpful accommodation. So I'm wondering if that would be possible. Obviously, I don't know for sure, because I haven't been down that route.
Well, and see, here's the thing, too, is I don't know that they would, because here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Before they were going to do just a stress test, and insurance decided to deny it, even though I'm 40 and have had cardiac symptoms since 2012, and my mother passed away when she was only 48, a cardiac arrest. But yet it's not medically necessary for me to have the test.
What?
Yeah. So, yeah. I doubt they pay for a second one.
Also, it might, you know, if anybody out there has better insurance, who knows?
More information, even. Words
or better
to
information.
Use, words to use to fight the insurance company. That'd be helpful.
Because and the thing I hate about the fact that insurance is privatized, because if we had, like, you know, some form of, like, national insurance where there was a
a standard to make sure that everybody's needs were accommodated for, instead of a private organization basically deciding, hey, no, I want to deny you medical stuff. Like, there should be regulation on that. It should be illegal to even deny things like that.
Yeah. Because I don't think any test that a doctor who went to a billion years of medical school and knows what they're talking about and said you need, I don't think somebody who sits around pushing keys on a keyboard all day should be able to say you don't need it. Just saying. They never even met you.
Exactly.
But that's the
thing. I've definitely had my own issues with insurance. So, yeah, like, I couldn't even imagine what the headache might be even too with heart issues. But I feel like there's got to be a way. Like, in the perfect world, like, that would be ideal.
We don't live in a perfect world. In a perfect world, insurance wouldn't be a thing. We just help each other out.
Lunch.
I'll give you some corn for an MRI.
I'll give you some corn for an MRI. Bartering system at its finest.
Seriously?
You give me an MRI, I'll give you some corn.
I could grow some corn.
You want some carrots, too, while I'm at it? Throw in a stress test. I'll give you some carrots.
I'll throw
and
some
apples.
Cucumbers. Have you ever grown cucumbers? You can hear them growing.
Really?
No kidding. You'll hear them go, it's so cool.
That's crazy.
It's pretty cool. You can hear them growing. It's nifty.
I love that.
Nifty.
We are coming up on the last 4 minutes of the show, so we'll be wrapping up here soon, guys. But sending good vibes and good energy and good luck to anybody out there with health issues, because especially that is a barefooter, because it is hard, you know, even for me, not just physically with my fibro and osteoarthritis issues and scoliosis, also, you know, with autism, like, it is a legitimate accommodation. It's a legitimate thing that helps so much. And it's hard, because I know for me...
And the more tests, like, we're talking about that we can get done to get it on the books to make it more readily available and accepted for others of us, the better.
Yeah.
Here's what I found.
Every time. She's always...
Copyright and fair use. What the... She eavesdrops, but she doesn't ever actually hear what I say. It's hilarious.
But, you know, just listen to your bodies, guys. Mm-hmm. And I know it's really frustrating when people aren't listening and they're not hearing you out and they're not listening to what is actually working for you and actually helps in an actual combination that is so beneficial. You know, I get it, and it's hard, but just do the best to listen to yourself and remember that these people don't matter. Set boundaries. Get a new doctor. Like, do whatever you can to, you know, stand up for yourself and cut these people out. And I get feeling trapped and feeling stuck and having a hard time implementing these changes because it is hard. But remember, I believe in you, and there are no laws or health codes against barefooting in the United States. Yeah, it is a protected right, so keep living your best barefoot lifestyle. And
be kind, help when you can. Don't be a jerk.
Yeah, don't let anybody walk all over you because...
Unless you need a massage. I don't know where that came from.
That's funny, though. But seriously, though, unless somebody's walking back to a massage or something or to pop something back in place that you need, don't take their crap and don't let them walk all over you. Don't.
Word.
You deserve better. And so remember, set your boundaries. Ground yourself. Hold your head up high and let your skin go round. Make sure you don't hurt your foot because, you know, pay attention, you know. But I recommend, you know, taking time to intentionally ground back within your body when barefooting. Allow yourself to come fully back into your body.
Mm-hmm.
But we're about to wrap this up. So love you all, sending love to you all, and happy healing. Keep living your best barefoot lifestyle. See you next week, folks.
Peace.